Okay, we're moving into a new chapter. We're talking about liability in the absence of a bargain for exchange, which means that are contracts going to be enforced when it's missing parts of a contract? That's a simple way of putting that. And one of an example of this is promissory estoppel, which is just saying, you made a promise. Are we going to enforce this promise? So let's talk about a couple of examples of this. So there are promises within a family, and there are charitable donations or charitable subscriptions. Let's talk about promises within a family first. There's this old common law approach where we need to ask if it's still current, where the court would find that if there was consideration. Let me just start over. This is based off a case, Kirksey v. Kirksey. Here, a brother-in-law wrote to his sister-in-law because his sister-in-law just lost her spouse. She was a recent widow. He invited her to come and live on his property if she would come and take care of it. Not just come take care of it, but he invited her to come and live on the property. And he did so that he could get a financial benefit out of it, actually. But the court here said that there was actually no consideration because it was a gratuity. A gratuity coming to see him does not equal a consideration, and thus this is not a promissory estoppel. However, in Harvey v. Dow, this is an interesting case for sure. What happens here is that the defendant is suing her parents because she built a house on their land, and they would not give her a deed for the land that the house was built on. And this was because she asked for the deed after she had built the house. But the big takeaway from here is that a promise alone, because the parents had promised that part of the land would be to them, it just wasn't clear when or which part of the land or what kind of conditions. It was just that they were going to get the land. But a promise alone is not going to establish that. Instead, it requires a promise plus the actions taken by a promising party. As a lawyer, we're not going to want to use this as a remedy, unless if it's absolutely necessary. Sorry, I guess I should say, we don't want to encourage this. We can use it as a remedy to where if the defendant can show that they had a promise plus actions from the, sorry, if a plaintiff can show that they had a promise plus actual actions from the defendant, then there is a promissory estoppel. We don't want to use that if we can help it, meaning we would want to advise them in advance not to do that kind of thing. We would want her to get the deed before building the house. Let's just quote the secondary statement of contract, section 91, just to hear how this is put into text. It says, a promise which the promisor should reasonably expect to induce action or forbearance on the part of the promisee or a third person and which does not induce such action or forbearance is binding if injustice can be avoided only by enforcement of the promise. The remedy granted for breach may be limited as justice requires. Okay, just restating that is exactly what we talked about. A promise, if it's going to induce an action of a third party, is going to be binding because you don't want that injustice. So you have a promise plus the actions, and you can use that to get a remedy. Okay, moving on to charitable donations. This is King versus Trust of Boston University. This is actually a case involving Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Before his death in 1964, he wrote to Boston University. Well, Boston University had originally reached out to them. They were expanding their library, and Dr. King wrote back saying, yeah, you can have my communications, my documents, my articles that I've written, it for any historical or anything, any value that this might give Boston University. And after his death, his wife sued Boston University to get those documents back. However, this lawsuit failed because this was a charitable pledge, not a contract. So it's going to be treated as a charitable subscription instead of under his charitable subscription theory instead of a contract theory. So for this to be seen as the successful charitable subscription, there needs to be consideration and there needs to be a reliance. The jury in this case actually said that there was both consideration and a reliance. Reliance is easier to prove, and it was proven by Boston University because they had taken these documents, and which they were told that they would have, and they began to set researchers to them, to study them, to learn from them, to conduct research projects off of them. And so this is, yes, there was a promise, and two, there was evidence of reliance. With that said, there are ways. Oh, yes. How do you confirm if there was a promise? Well, a promise is made if the donor has partially performed. In this case, Dr. King had sent his documents already to Boston University. So the promise was made because he had partially performed already. And two, there's a different way to do it if a donor serves on the governing board. Oftentimes, how do you get on a governing board? It's going to be through money. But that's really what we focused on. And today we focused on promises with the family and charitable donations underneath the heading of promissory estoppels. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are four things I want to say. The first thing is if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro. And you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't are pre-law materials. And the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice. And with that, the fourth thing is if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable. That is, Law Schoolers is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.